to understand by inviting the Department of Planning and Monitoring and Evaluation, AG, and FSP. So for them just to come and share with us their report on the performance of the department. Dr. Mgomani, in terms of our program, was supposed to come on Thursday after the Auditor General. But because the Thursday they've got other engagements, we requested that we reschedule them for today. Dr. Mgomani, you are welcome. You are the member of the committee. You know them, some even if they are new, but you might have met them in other committees. You're welcome. I'm told the minister has just decided not to come because he has to go to Pretoria. That's the apology that I said. I'm not sure what his agent in Pretoria. So we'll start with you, Honorable Mgomani. Honorable Doctor, you're welcome.
Chair, just a question. What is the proper or the reason for the minister not to be here? Just going to Pretoria. Is there any urgent cluster meeting, urgent cabinet meeting, something, man? You know, there might be something.
Members, there is no reason yet. Let's hope we'll receive the formal apology from the minister while he's not here. Can we agree on that? Thank you very much. Dr. Mgomani? We received an invitation on CPMC's assessment based on the 2015-16 annual performance of the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, its entities, and on MCAT results. This is in preparation for the budget review and the recommendation report process. We always welcome this particular request, because not only does it provide an opportunity for us to raise areas where we require some intervention and acceleration from the organized committee, but it also equips members of the committee to engage from a position of information with evidence as they interact with the department. I think overall assessment of the annual performance programs for the department, the NTP is an integral part of the DPMB's monitoring role. We track the performance of government through 14 outcomes when we've done it. So the new members of the committee were working on 12 outcomes, but since 2 years ago, two outcomes were added to the 12, that is outcome 13 on social protection and outcome 14 on social cohesion. But for this particular sector, the sector on agriculture, food, fisheries and forestry reports under outcome 7, which is dealing with comprehensive rural development, food security, issues of land reform. And the lead department for that outcome is the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, supported by the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, and 16 other departments. As members of the committee, the slides are the same, just some small commenting that we need on slide 3 and 3. The rest is the same. The content is the same.
Through the chair, I was just struggling to follow, also trying to check what we have here and what she's saying and what is there. They were not talking to each other, so I thought maybe I have a wrong statement.
The same one, apologies. I hope we're on the same page right now, just the formatting issue. If you look at slide number 3, we just shifted the bullet point on the outcomes to slide number 2. Just before this interaction, I was...
Yeah, I think it's fine just to say page 2 of what she has and what we have are not the same. And now on page 3, I think from what I see, it looks like they are the same. But page 2, they are not the same.
Thank you. What we're seeing on that slide, page 2, Madam Chairperson, was that outcome 7 focuses on comprehensive rural development, which is led that full outcome in terms of the
government as part of the government-wide monitoring and evaluation system in 2009 to achieve more effective spending and performance across government. It paid as one of the innovative interventions of government introduced by the FIFA administration. The aim of the outcome system is to deal with the issue of strategic focus of government by zooming in on focusing on a limited number of priority outcomes. It aims to increase focus on measurable results. In this instance, we use a specific target for performance measurement. We define the indicators for this target, and these indicators are linked then to inputs. You think of resources, human resources, financial resources, information. We link that to activities, we link that to outputs, and then the desired outcomes and impacts on society. So in that sense, we are able to measure or track performance through this system. It further aims to improve coordination across departments and spheres of government by introducing the whole of government and links the form of delivery agreements. Honorable members, I know you have had several times in various platforms stakeholders lamenting the challenges of coordination in government, both between national departments and across spheres of government. The silos and tendencies in the system is serving as a huge barrier to progress in our delivery agenda, and the system seeks to address that within the IGR intergovernmental framework. It also uses delivery agreements that the lead ministers sign with the president, and with the president and they report on a quarterly basis the extent to which they are meeting the targets as set out in the agreement. The system also seeks to move away from a culture of doing the same activities the same way without consideration of the impact of those activities. So hospitality services, functional infrastructure services in rural areas, highlighting education, health, and public transport. This number six speaks to growing rural enterprises, the work in industrialization, objective of government, seeking to create jobs in rural areas. So, for purposes of this report today, we'll dig deep into outcome 2, outcome 3, also sub outcome 2, sub outcome 3, and sub outcome 4. That is land reform, food security, and smallholder development. By way of priorities, Madam Chairperson, the impact indicators for the sector. That is, if we say the sector has performed very well by 2019, you know, at the end of the first 5 years of the MPSN, what would be the impact indicators that society is going to use or show as evidence that we have done very well based on the six, you know, outputs that I highlighted just the four impact indicators, if you look at your column, the column on my right hand side, there are four impact indicators. The first one will say by 2019 we'll see an increase in the percentage of ownership of productive land by the previously disadvantaged individuals. An increase with 9.5%. Or if we say in hectares, 7.83 million hectares. We have committed that by 2019 we'll see a reduction by 1 million hectares, the quantity of land transferred to the previously disadvantaged individuals that is underutilized. At the point of the agreement, in 2014, our data shows that about 4 million hectares, 4.3 million hectares to be exact, that was the baseline at the time, of newly acquired land was underutilized. Hence the target to reduce that by 1 million by 2019. We have also committed, Madam Chairperson, that there will be a reduction in the percentage of households vulnerable to hunger from 11.4% to less than 9.5%. And lastly, we say there will be a reduction in rural unemployment rate from 49.4%, which was the baseline in 2013, to 40%. That's about 9.4% decrease. Let's keep this impact indicator in mind as we go through the performance assessment. I'll move quickly into that assessment just to highlight the classification. You'll see in your slide the blue coded last column was not darkened and it's blackened on the screen. There's a reason why I did that in our next thing. Now, when we look at the performance reports from the ministry and all other ministries, we use this particular classification. If the performance rating, the target has been achieved for that quota, the color coding is green, or the target has been exceeded, or almost achieved, or the target will be achieved by 2019, so that performance, if they are on track, basically is green. If there's significant progress on that performance measure, significant progress towards...
Sorry, doctor. but you also will not have those colors. The best way would be to look at the board, then you can then compare the colors. So Parliament does not have enough resources to compare the color.
Thank you. I'll also speak to the colors when I present the chairpersons for Friday. So the first one is the green package will be achieved. The amber shows the substantial progress towards meeting the target by 2019. So they might be behind even for that quarter, but they are on track. They are likely to meet the target. The red is where there is no progress meeting the target. The blue one, the reason why I darkened it, it was an interim measure that was introduced in between the MCSF reporting period to accommodate performance measures that where the indicator, the specific unit of measure was not yet clarified by the department. There were some question marks made around it. Maybe they did not have the data source and things like that. So the coding was but that's given that since ended and we don't accept the blue coding anymore. So it's the assessment is based on the current green environment. We're focusing on the four impact areas, because I think for the members of the committee, our assessment of performance should be at this high level when we're looking at impact indicators. Are we on track? Are we making a difference in society? So we don't focus on activities. So we're reporting on that high level impact indicators. The first indicator that has direct relevance to the Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries has to do with the directly linking the percentage of ownership of productive land by PDRs. That's the first one. The baseline in 2014 was 9% of land that was transferred. This was based on the, you know, if you recall in 1994 that we set ourselves the target of 50% transfer agricultural land. June date was 2014 at the time, and we have not been able to meet it for various reasons. Still keeping in mind that target to transfer 50%, we said by 2019 we want to have 20% of that achieved. That is about 16.2 million hectares. Now, with data and proper assessment, this is a really the latest available measure on that target is that by August baseline of 11.4% in 2011. We set ourselves a target to go below 9.5% by 2019. Our latest available measure shows we're at 11.3%. That's from surface. So it's not worsening. The percentage is declining slightly so, but at this rate, we're not likely to meet that target. The same applies on employment. We want to reduce from the baseline of 49.4%. To 40%. This is a very good measurement from the quality level for staffing of survey second quarter, we're at 45.8%. So rural unemployment is not declining as a desired rate. And this is a reflection of the employment challenges in the country and other sectors as well. The agricultural sector, you know, has been losing jobs over the consecutively so over the last 6 quarters. Now, with further on slide 8, focus on just a sustainable lens form and pick up some key performance indicators that is relevant to the portfolio quality. On that indicator, the one that we need to track is the number of leases acquired and allocated. The target for 2019 is to ensure that there's the 2 million additional leases that are acquired and allocated. Overall, by 2019, our performance to date is 30.5% on that target. With acceleration, it could be achieved, but ideally, halfway through the MTSF, we should be going closer to 50%. Percentage of acquired cases of land allocated to smallholder producers. This is a new indicator because of the focus of government on smallholder development within the change agenda. We say of the 2 million hectares in the target of 2019, what we want to see is 50% of that allocated to smallholders. The latest measurement is we're at 35%, and the target is unlikely to be. When you again from the 2 million hectares target for 2019, we're saying to address the change agenda of government, we need to allocate 10% of that land to people living and working on farms and farm dwellers. That's about 200,000 hectares. In terms of our performance, the indicator that rural development and land reform is driving, performance is the findings, research findings, based that they show that there are 12.1% of households that are involved in agriculture that are getting support from government. It's we're putting it out to members of the committee whether that's adequate or there has to be some measures to improve the percentage of households that are receiving support if you want to deal with food security in a comprehensive manner. Is the resource allocation adequate or not? Is the issue of efficiency and all that? We highlight the provinces that are providing the most support to farming. Thank you. that the 1 hectare, 1 household project should focus on increasing cultivation efforts at household level for us to meet that the 1 million target of utilized land. We made reference to the implementation of the agri-parks, noting that there are about 45 agri-parks that are at various phases of establishment, and there are funds acquired to support the initiative, but the implementation thereof needs acceleration, particularly on production activities as opposed to just infrastructure. We suggest commitment on the 50-50 policy on funds that are targeted. Our report shows that there are 11 of those funds have been allocated to farm workers, which is a commendable investigation. The cabinet also approved an operation practice on agriculture land reform and rural development, which was a request by the Honourable Minister for Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries as an intervention, acceleration intervention to deal with challenges facing the sector. So this model, we believe, will drive the implementation of the agricultural policy action plan policy as well as the targets of the, in the National Development Plan. It was approved in March 2016, also by the Minister in DCMP. Then the Honourable Minister here probably comment on the practice which commenced on the 26th of September with 102 registered participants and will run over 5 weeks ending 28 October. Seeking to address the sector. So there's some hope around that intervention addressing the challenges. The 3 feet concept plans resulting from Pakistan are likely to address most of the critical issues raised. The next slide will highlight the objectives of the Pakistan, and I'll just run quickly through this. The key focus is to identify or devise interventions that will accelerate growth throughout the value chain. The second one is to review employment and working conditions amongst agricultural workers. It seeks to review producer support models and related institutional arrangements. Producer seeks to devise interventions to improve market access and trade development. It also seeks to reduce the environmental impact of agricultural production through various interventions, including soil fertility and improvements in water management. It seeks to address constraints in ensuring the equitable access to land, both towards economic development and agrarian transformation. Land reform is one of the key work streams in that program, seeking to ensure it's done in an inclusive manner and it ensures growth in the sector. It also seeks to determine the role and relative importance of technological development and innovation in advancing agricultural production. So you see, the intervention itself seeks to address the challenges that the analysis and critique in the sector is picking up. On the next impact indicator, which deals with food security, we say we want to reduce the percentage of households that are vulnerable to food security. Just showing here that the biggest challenge on this impact indicator, it's not necessarily availability of food in South Africa, it's the distribution of the food and access in rural disparity between rural and urban in as far as access to food is concerned. Where urban areas have more than 8% chance of accessing food, rural areas have about 74% to access food. But in terms of inadequacy, you'll see the rural areas are more likely to struggle in terms of inadequacy than near 25%. So the bar graph standing in opposition shows the magnitude of the problem. Secondly, on food security, we're tracing this graph constantly each time we report to the committee, because it shows over time whether as a country we're making progress in reducing the number of households that are vulnerable to hunger and access to food, and we're tracing this over time. Without a point, this works. So what we see is the graph shows a reduction, if we follow just this blue line that I'm showing on the arrow, vulnerability to hunger by households has reduced from 2002, very much so to 2007, but it has leveled off from 2011 onwards. Okay, so we see that reduction in vulnerability of households. That's why the 11.5 to 11.3. You don't see that much change because of that stagnation. Okay. What does that mean? The Bureau for Food and Agricultural Policy tells us that the cost of the food basket has increased significantly. And we know that it's because of the drought and the effect of the food pricing peak in 2008 and other factors, unemployment factors. But all these factors together has resulted in restricted access to food. Where food is scarce, it is the indigent households that suffer. The impact is felt at that level. We also note that the reduction in the percentage of households vulnerable to hunger is likely due to the protection, government protection mechanisms, through social grants and all that. So that's a necessary protection mechanism which enables households to purchase food. The downside of that is it discourages production of food. So as a result, less than a fifth of South African households are involved in agricultural production. That's why we're getting the 16.9%. And household access to food has remained static since 2011. So you see this problem mostly in the Northwest Province, in Mpumalanga and Northern Cape, and in Limpopo. The key question to ask is, how do we then restructure or revisit our intervention program to be impactful, to break away from the static level where we are right now? We note in terms of intervention, the interministerial committee intervention for disaster management with the 6 provincial states of disasters declared and the 2 municipal disasters declared, that even if those interventions, even as they continue, we need to start this is a plan that is developed under the leadership of the Office of the Deputy President and led by an intergovernmental technical working group that involves the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, the Department of Social Development, Department of several departments that are working together to develop a national food and security plan. With such an integrated response, we'd like to turn around the situation, particularly on household food security and nutrition in the country. That plan incorporates the directives from Cabinet, provisions of the 2030 National Policy on Food and Nutrition Security that was led by the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, and the findings of the Nutrition Diagnostic Evaluation of Nutrition Intervention. That plan is meant to be finalized for implementation as soon as possible. We are planning next steps on that plan, ongoing consultations, refinement and costing of that plan, and it's happening to the executive, before the executive and incorporation of directives at that level towards implementation. On smallholder producer development, we highlight some key indicators. One is policies to promote the development and support of smallholder producers needed to be in place and implemented. There's a draft in terms of the latest available measurements. There's a draft comprehensive development support policy that has been developed to guide this coordinated work, and the rating is green. Regarding the number of hectares under irrigation used by smallholder producers, the target is to have an additional 1,250 hectares under irrigation. Performance by August, 216 hectares of land under irrigation were achieved as additional. The number of projects to support revitalization of irrigation schemes, the target for 2019 is 181 projects. The latest measurement, we're on Ember on that one, with 60 irrigation schemes targeting 664 farmers in KZN and the construction of reservoir in Valhalla. That's in focus. On that sub-outcome, another key indicator that we need to track is the number of producers that are receiving support. The target for 2019 is an additional 80,000 smallholder producers receiving support. The latest measurement is just about 9,000. That was supported through various initiatives such as CASP, and the target will be achieved. We're making an observation in this slide that although the performance, particularly on this number of small holders receiving support, although the performance is great and green, that is because for the quarter, that they reported, the last quarter when they reported, they met the quarterly, the department met the quarterly target. However, there are some areas of concern. First, the 2015 drought conditions and rising food prices of production inputs and mechanization. interest of food security through irrigation, which is a key area, performance area in the National Development Plan. There's a need to reallocate, to reprioritize water towards agriculture activities. When you engage with the water sector, we're told that agriculture uses more than 60% of available water and not doing so in an efficient manner. But the reality is our National Development Plan has set targets for us to achieve, you know, to increase production through the irrigation system. The NDP estimates that 1.5 million hectares under irrigation. That is about 50,000 of those located in the former homeless areas and used by smallholder farmers. So that the NDP estimates that that area could be expanded by 500,000 hectares, half a million hectares. But our reality is, if we look at recent data by BFAP, the Bureau for Food and Agriculture Policy, that target needs to be revised given the drought and climatic conditions in the country. From 500,000 hectares to about 145,000 hectares. That's a huge difference. We also looked at data produced by the Department of Water and Sanitation in their water resource strategy, and they indicate that regarding the availability of water to expand irrigation, we can only do so as a country. We can only expand 80,000 hectares, which is a worse figure than the BFAP figure. The Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries also did their own calculations based on available water resources and land suitable for irrigation. And they determined that only 35,000 hectares can be further developed through irrigation. So what does this mean at the policy level in terms of formulating realistic targets or intensifying efforts to increase production through irrigation in the country? So based on this external environment and conditions, we would recommend a rating of red. That unless these issues are addressed, or there's a strategy on the table to deal with it. The last indicator deals with rural unemployment. We said we want to reduce rural unemployment by 9.4% to 40% by 2019. The latest available measurement based on the Pulse Labor Force Survey is red at 45.8%. This is not unique, just worse off. The unemployment levels in the country, what we see as national, is worse in the rural areas. We note in that second bullet point that some jobs were created through the Comprehensive Agriculture Support Program around issue of employment. I think this is why probably the Honourable Minister asked for a signature on the sector. We know that the National Development Plan has identified Canada as a target as one of the key sectors for job creation, economic growth, food security, basically looking at advertising as a catalyst for growth. But we also know that current contribution of the sector is at 2.5% below capacity. We're contributing 12% to the GDP through various value-adding processes. This is highlighted in the annual report. The sector, however, despite that potential, has contracted for 6 consecutive quarters. Many parts of the country have experienced drought conditions. The industry is on the decline, 0.8 in the second quarter of 2016, as a result of decline in production, particularly on field crops and horticulture products. In addition, we see, as you probably have read, honorable members, on the annual report, that the capacity of the department to spend is limited. The report shows areas of underspending, fund unspent. Given this environment, I think we'll be more welcoming of over spending than underspending. What needs to be done is to deliberately isolate, use all our authority to isolate agriculture as a growth sector. This is important because agriculture delivers more jobs per rent invested than any other productive sector, and it's a main pusher in the face of rural poverty and food insecurity. We need to accelerate implementation of the 9-point plan, which kind of reprioritized agriculture and rural communities, identifying areas of differential potential in those areas. There has to be a commitment to implement the initiatives arising from the operation in Pakistan and to advocate for resources to support the implementation of the previous plans arising. Honourable Chairperson, today we thought to share with you the management performance information from the management performance assessment tool that is run by PPME in consultation with the department. This tool or this assessment tool is one of the initiatives introduced in 2010. It aims to give impetus to the entrenchment of monitoring and evaluation practices with a specific focus on the monitoring of management practices within organizations. This conceptualization was a product of a collaborative effort by National Treasury, the Department of Public Service and Administration, the Auditor General, the Office of the Premier, and the Office of the Public Service Commission. The MPEG tool is designed to build internal monitoring and self-evaluation capacity. So the department actually is engaged in a self-monitoring process to determine weaknesses and strengths in their management practice. And the last 3 years we have had 100% participation. And year in, year out, more departments are competing to be the best performance. So the best achievement award on MPED. I'm told the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries is targeting this award for this year. But let's look at their performance. This is just a theory of change, I'll pass that. Let's never want us to go through it. And just go to the descriptors for the assessment. Where you see level 1, red, compliant. They follow all the rules with letters requirements. At level 4, which is the desired level, the department not only complies with the legal requirements, but is also doing things smartly, successfully with the practice and improving actually on the nation. The focus areas in terms of the management practices, those four of them. The first one is on strategic management, second one is on governance accountability, third one human resource management, and fourth one is financial management. Through the tool, we monitor compliance with key prescripts in the public service and finance management regime. The systematic implementation of MPES leads to a growing understanding of the ways in which management practices contribute to and enhance performance and service delivery in the public. Now, how did our department perform? Okay. Overall, the slide shows a trend from 2012 to 2015 over a four-year period. So if you just look at 2012 as a block, as a year block, on matters related to strat planning, MSE, management accountabilities, through the audit committees and all that, professional ethics, risk management. In 2012, the department did not even have a single green. There was no indicator where they were doing it smartly. And there were more red. In 2013, there was significant improvement in the strategic planning process, but they lost ground on several areas. So the general performance in 2013 is not sustained. I'm trying to look at the trend. In 2014, the strategic planning achievement dropped. In that level, but from management, if you look at 2.2.1 down to 2.6.1, there was a significant improvement on professional ethics, for prevention and all that. 2015, we see clear areas of improvement. Particularly on in terms of how they articulate the APP, the start planning going back on track in terms of trying to meet the compliance with PAJA and all that. For prevention, some improvements there. A worry that there's a significant decline on internal audit and measures and risk. The other column just shows the extent of the deviation. Okay, but I'm urging honorable members to look at overall improvement year on year. If we continue with that kind of semantic analysis, we see an improvement in 2014 on HR planning, on management of performance assessments, PMPS, level 1 to 12, and senior management performance assessment. We saw in 2013 improvement in demand management, cash flow, payment of suppliers, and reduction in unauthorized payments and delegation in 2014. The only red area on the slide was corporate governance and ICT. I'm zooming in on 2014 because I want to show that in 2015, those areas of improvement actually declined. In terms of organizational design, the key planning function declined. assessment. We've looked around to explain the EMDR, performance assessment of HODs. And where we have made significant progress, key area also, again, the government on cash flow, payment of suppliers within 30 days, and all that we will address. So those are areas that maybe members of the committee want to highlight for the department to speak to. We comment the delegations. Delegations, because delegations as per CFMA has a direct consequence to the ability of the department to take decisions as a case. So that is there are reasons for the downgrade, and we highlight those. Most of them is where the evidence has not been provided throughout, and members of the committee can go through that. In terms of the payment for suppliers, the 30-day target that the government has said, well, we're not able to pay invoices within that time. Overall, it's where evidence was not provided. Regarding the public entities, there are certain public entities accountable to the Honorable Minister. That is the Agricultural Research Council, other support biological products, the National Agriculture Marketing Council. I can't pronounce this name. They have some farms. And the Perishable Product Export Certification Board, and the Marine Living Resources Fund, and then the Agricultural Bank of South Africa. These entities play a vital role in supporting the department. Performance, particularly performance as concerns outcome 4 and 7, and I should add outcome 10 as well. The general trend, a critique around this, is that they are not functioning and performing as envisaged, and this is a criticism by industry and academic institutions. However, we note there's been some great improvements from the Agricultural Research Council, which has even developed their vision 2030 document, and that is under consultation to improve the work within the ARC. Honorable members of the committee, through you, Madam Chairperson, we understand that you will be engaging with the Auditor General's findings regarding this report. So we just highlight briefly the areas to zoom on for clarity. The department secured an unqualified audit opinion in respect of the financial information. However, there are some matters wherein the AG draws attention or concern. Regarding the achievement of planned targets, the annual report, the report for information on the achievement of the planned targets for the year. This information should be considered in the context of the material findings on the usefulness of the reported performance information. I won't go through those details, but just to draw attention where the issues that need to be discussed in that meeting. Assessment of material misstatements, measurability of targets, where a total of 29% of the targets were not as specific, and this is directly linked to the performance on NPET issues, so the correlation there. The financial statements submitted for auditing were not prepared in accordance with the prepared financial reporting framework as required by the PFMA. In terms of expenditure, effective steps were not taken to prevent irregular expenditure of 899,000 as disclosed in note 26 to the financial statements, and this is also a requirement of the PFMA. In terms of internal audit, management did not exercise adequate oversight in the area of performance. biological assets, accruals and payables, particularly as it relates to the The action plans for the implementation of all these recommendations were not adequately monitored, resulting in a recurrence of material audit findings. Concluding comments, therefore, we have three slides speaking to this comment. We note that the slow growth and loss of jobs in the sector can be attributed in part to the global economic decline. So as we had to engage with the department, we keep that reality in mind. However, the department has not been successful in addressing constraints to investment in the sector, dealing with equal relations between the private sector and government and all that. Though the department has embarked on some strategies such as mechanization and drought assistance aimed at stimulating production by smallholders, the following concerns remain, and these are the inability of the departmental program to have sufficient impact on key indicators. Those indicators that are transformational in nature, transform the sector through new entrants, ensuring that these new entrants are successful commercially. So some of the support packages, that like to call dependency, there has to be some strategies or rethink in terms of putting together these packages for sustainable growth or advancement in the sector. The growth of the industry, both in terms of contribution to GDP and employment, that indicator is not doing very well. The household food security and utilization of agricultural land, those impact indicators are the area of concern. The causes of the problem appear to include weak relationships between government and industry and high senior management vacancies, if you look at the analysis of MPET and other tools. Further observation, we want to convey to members of the August Committee that the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries and the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform has been approached by National Treasury and the DPME to rationalize and refocus agricultural support in rural development initiatives for the country. We want to report that this request has been well received by both ministers. It came on the backdrop of the current fiscal constraints faced by the country and the result of various implementation and impact evaluations that were conducted by the CPME in consultation with both departments since 2018. It is our view that this effort to rationalize and refocus agriculture support program will streamline the efforts to support smallholders to maximize efficiency and effectiveness and to ensure there's value for money. Following this intervention, both departments have agreed that soft issues be dealt with by the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. What do we mean by soft issues? Production-related issues, you know, knowledge content in the value chain and all that, because the department holds that mandate and scientific hub to address those. Hard issues will be dealt with by the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. This is where we look at issues of access to land as a hard, you know, access and resource, rural infrastructure provision, and all that. Further action on which we discuss alignment of provincial and national organizational structures with the Department of Public Service and Administration and to address the indication for implementation. That is now related to that alignment. 7 database on smallholder producers, so we know who is producing what, where, and what is the progression towards commercialization in that sense. DAF has decided to do a proper census on agriculture in 2017. This decision to conduct an agricultural census is highly commendable. I can say right now that the statistician general is very excited about this decision as well, and this implementation should be supported by all concerns. Once we know we have reliable data, we'll be able to measure progress and to trace the extent to which we impact on our performance targets. Having said that, wish to thank you, Madam Chairperson, for listening to this lengthy presentation of the unavoidable. Thank you.
Thanks, Doctor. It was a lengthy but useful presentation. Thank you very much, Doctor. Honorable members, that was the first presentation from the oversized sections of government to the department. I'm going to request members not to be tempted to ask questions, to ask department questions in this presentation. So you would just write and you would now focus on questions for clarification so that as the department comes, you are able to raise those questions with clarity. I know that the report might be very tempting. Please restrict yourself. Don't get tempted. Just ask the presentation in terms of clarity, seeking questions, or if you want the doctor to expand on certain issues. So then you will be to the department on Tuesday. Honorable members, you're welcome to ask questions. Honorable Spain, Honorable Tapa, Honorable Maloy. Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Doctor, for the presentation. On a lighter note, I just want to start off by saying I'm very glad that agriculture is one of the issues in the 9-point plan, and the President at least knows that. So I think we've moved, Chairperson, me. It is a good thing. But we need to take it from there now, and I think it's important that we do move from that point, because we will never become the catalyst in the rural sector if we don't really make the whole of government and parliament aware that of the important role that agriculture actually is supposed to be playing in our country. Chair, I would like to ask, and it's an issue that we've been on, and I think we did discuss it with partners also earlier, on the issue of the baseline. If I look to slides number 7 and 8, there's a 2014 level, and in some certain cases we have that as the percentages, but then we have one or two that says to be determined, the percentage of land allocated to people working on the farms and farm dwellers, which is to be determined on that one specifically. And then the one just above that, which is percentage of acquired hectares, land allocated to smallholders, which is new indicator. But we must have a baseline at least. One of the challenges that I personally sit with, and I think this portfolio has been struggling with over a while, is that we don't know where are we working from. So it's always, if we say, for instance, something that says 8,000 smallholder farmers need to be trained or helped, we don't know compared to what. And we do have some figures and stats floating around, but in the departmental annual reports, there's nothing that says to us we are targeting 10% of the total number of farmers or farm workers or small-scale farmers. Or underutilized land or anything that we discuss. And that's a frustration, and I think that's also one of the reasons why we seem not to be moving forward on the target that was set. So I would like to get your comment on that. And I've just opened on slide 18 and 19 again, where we talk about the same thing. Number of hectares under irrigation used by small water producers, where it says 2014 levels to be determined. So if we discuss something that says an additional 1,150 hectares under irrigation and we are 216, it seems like we're moving towards the 2019 target, but where are we in the overall scenario of getting hectares under irrigation? The same with the next one, which is just says irrigation strategy. And I spoke specifically at length about the irrigation strategy with the Spartan the other day. We will never get our irrigation strategy under control if we don't know firstly how much it will cost to get all of it fixed, and secondly, how many hectares are we talking about per area in Tasman? I think we can get that easily, but it needs to come into the annual report, it needs to come into your program and target. So even if we say we target 10% of the total number of hectares, but we only achieve 2% in this year, that's fine, but at least it tells us the bigger picture, because we're missing the bigger picture. Then I want to ask a specific question of clarity on the thing of land reform. That one was slide, I can't remember where that one was written out before was. We spoke about, oh yeah it was, it's slide 7. Increase of percentage of ownership of productive land by disadvantaged individuals, where the baseline is 9%, that's 7 million hectares, and the target is 20%. If I can remember correctly, the target of land reform was 30% of land. So is this target now 20% of land, or is it 20% of the 30%, or is it, I'm not so clear, if you can please assist me on that. A specific question. And then I saw the reasons for the movement on slides 30 and 31 for that green and yellow and orange and red of impact results and the reasons for that. What measures do your department have in place to assist that we don't go back to reds again after we have moved between 2012 and 2014 to move at least into some greens and now we're going downwards again? So any measures from your department that could be put in place to assist with that? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
No, thank you very much. I think most of my questions are directed to the department, so we'll not get into that exercise today. We'll wait for the department to come. So I'll just limit my questions to two. The first one is on pages, slide 20, the revised figures. DAF has got its own figure, BFAP, its own figure, Department of Water and Sanitation, its own figure, the revised ones. Which one is scientific? Which one should we rely on? Because they've got their own figures. The second question is on, because you know, this is just to assist me going forward, the soft and the hard issues. Because I would want to know exactly, I know that you try to explain what are you referring to when you talk about soft issues. Because you're saying in agriculture more often than not, scientific and so on and so forth. So it matters that rely on the mind, the intelligence and so on. And I'm not referring to the intelligence which Kawi spoke about. I mean, the real one. So I'd be happy going forward if we can just get in detail. What are these hard issues which rural development must focus on? What are the soft issues which agriculture must focus on and so on? I'm raising this matter deliberately because from where I'm sitting, I'm moving from a paper that says this department is highly underfunded. And once you begin to make these arguments and so on and so forth, you want to suggest going forward that it will not be necessary for this department to get any increase because it must focus on soft issues and so on and so forth. But that debate will come at a later stage. For now, I just want to know that this soft and the hard issues exactly what are those. We're not going to do it today. Maybe we can just get the comprehensive thing that explains these two things, hard and soft. The last point is on page slide number 30. Just for my own understanding, when that's right. When you have APP and then there's something BAPP, what is the difference then? 1.1.2 is APP. 1.1.2, oh no, BAPP. What is that? Is it is related to the first one or what is the second? I'm just a little bit confused there. Or are we talking about two APPs and so on? If you can just explain that to me, I'd be very happy. Thank you very much, Chair.
The graph on the food security, Doctor, which reflects the stagnation, and when you have the intervention from government, does it mean that it's either our intervention it's not responding, or it's responding? If we didn't have intervention, the situation might be worse as we speak now. But with the information that there is a decline in production, which might mean that the agricultural sector has not actually contributed much on the issues of production, without even looking at the percentage of land that was put under cultivation. The second question is on the one of the the outcome was to look at the coordination and of Pagita to look at the issues of coordination and the of the department and the sector itself. One of the challenging issues has been the provinces as the implementing agent of the department. I just want to check, even though probably we'll get the opportunity to get the presentation on Pakisa, just to check whether is that area taken care of, because in my own view, if you are able to get provinces to align with the department, then you will never get the sector performing. And if the coordination is including provinces besides land and rural development, then it's something that one is appreciating. I think probably we'll get the presentation on what is happening on Pakisa probably when we start with the department, so that we are able to see, because this process will really help towards the end of the, as the minister is going to present the statement on budget. But again, in terms of employment and the working condition of farm workers, we have never actually received any indication at that level. In most instances, we raise questions whether the decline in agriculture is creating jobs. Is it because at some point, you know, there is a general statement that cut across, which will then say in most farmers, they are chasing away the South Africans in their farms, employing fellow Africans in their farms with the view of abusing them in their farms. And that has been coming even during this thing of killing of farmers and farm workers. And there is no, we are not confronting that area properly. And you don't know what causes, besides the decline in production, but whether the issue of employment of unregistered employees, is it not a factor in agricultural sector? Because if we don't tackle that again, we might not do justice on those issues. And looking at the ministerial determination, I'm not sure when it's been done in terms of the farm workers' premium salaries and all those things. Usually it's done by Minister of Agriculture, Committee of Labour, or but you know, if we had it when it was done, those farm workers in wine farming area in Cape Town. We don't know whether this year or other years to come, what is happening, whether it's is it the determination that ministers have determined that contributes to the decline in job creation in that sector, or what's happening. last thing on the, as we note that the green part, which means that there is an improvement and the acknowledgement of government that there is a need to strengthen and coordinate better in terms of making sure that the sector perform in contributing towards the GDP and its target as outlined in the NDP. I think it's appreciated and we're looking forward to that. We hope even the Treasury will respond as such. The last issue is on the support, smallholder support, which is not the issue of the department only, it's generally government issue, which is part of the 9-point plan. The 30% procurement, because the department seemingly struggling, and I heard other departments saying that actually the new procurement developed by Treasury is worsening the situation. It's closing that tab. you might not even this thing of integrated procurement is even worse than tender board system that we had before, where it's closing for smallholder farm, smallholder or small businesses. So how are we faring there? What is our performance in that? Because it's not reported anywhere in all the reports. I know that even the department is not going to report on it. So because you are part of the president, how are we doing there, Doctor? Because and some of the departments are claiming to say that the Treasury, as you come up with the policy, the Treasury that is closing that opportunity for smallholders. Yeah, those are the questions of time you can respond.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, to the patients for clarity, but also some, raising points that compels us to think a little bit deeper on certain issues. So I'll try to respond to the patients for clarity, because Honourable Member Dave is asking, not been asking, just a comment related to agriculture as a catalyst, and acknowledging that as a country we're beginning to prioritize the sector. If you look at the revitalization of the agricultural sector as priority number one of the 9-point plan. And the president knows that. so that is good. What is said to us is, the realization of the potential in the sector for contributing to growth, job creation, primarily ensuring this the food sovereignty of the country. We need to rise this week. We need to use that realization to the advantage or the benefit of indigenous households and families, especially rural communities. In our advocacy efforts, as we rally for increasing investment for the sector, I think it's an excellent opportunity and timing for us to do that. So we don't leave, activities or interventions limited to just the 9-point plan, but how do we ensure the whole of society embraces the potential of the review because we meet him in his implementation. In the process of that review, departments need to close all the loopholes related to the gaps in baseline, refinement of performance measures and all that. And one of those areas is to ensure that in the refined version of the MTSS, we don't have baselines yet to be determined. So they are working on that. You see some of those indicators as well, the new indicator, smallholder farmers, so they still need to, they had to do some groundwork. Our assumption is in the 2 years or so of the MTSF, significant progress has been made. You also made reference to the issue around the data on smallholder farmers. I think it's very critical for us to know who these smallholders are, where are they, and all that. And we've been sending this message across. What we need to celebrate as a committee and to commend the department is that eventually they did take a decision to conduct this census. It is just the same. The last time they did an agricultural, a comprehensive agricultural census was many years ago, and we don't have data for smallholders. So this is a decision by the department. We need to rally around it, make sure it's adequately resourced, and it's done next year. The agriculture census, we need that. The big question on the targets for land reform. This is slide number 7. The question is this a new target to the original 30% target? The answer is, it's not. If you look at the baseline of 2014, that 90% was the achievement of the 30% to that date. On the 30% target that was set in 1994, by 2014, we had achieved 9%. We still had 21% to go. So we said then that 20% is closing that gap. So what has, in essence, what has happened to the 30% target is that we extended it a few years. And there's a reason for doing that. So we don't attribute this to incoherence or lack of consistency in government. The reason is, when the target was set to achieve, to distribute 30% in 1994, that information was not based on data, on aggregate information. The target was so ambitious. There was no land audit done, at the time. And we then set an arbitrary target, basically setting ourselves as a nation to failure. So now we have systems in place to track performance on that, and when we say there are 15 million acres of land that needs to be designated, we can point through GPS data where that land is. Honorable Chapman, I did not get very well the first question on food. But the second question on, probably Chairperson will allow us to go through that question on food again. But the second question on soft and hard issues, what those are. First, let's repeat the question to the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries when you engage with them. So to ensure that there's a common understanding on these matters. But let me use just as an example, and I'll show the slide. I'll use as an example what the on market output in terms of what DAF will do and what DR, rural development and then reform will do. In terms of market access, just highlighting the area of training and skills development, you find DAF is doing, it has a program in trade and market skills development, the agro processing. Rural development is doing the same on enterprise development under their RAID program and other programs in NASIC. On issues related to access to market information, you see DAF doing that under the trade and market. You see rural development doing the same. On agriculture legislation, DAF is doing a lot of, you know, it's their competency on trade and market promotion, animal and plant health and inspection services. That's their scientific competency. That's why they are mandate. You look at the market access development, both departments have separate programs. In agriculture, forestry and fisheries, we see the CAT program running with the agriculture trade competitiveness development programs. In rural development and reform, we see economic infrastructure, we see economic enterprise development. So, what are the areas of overlap, you know, in this program? So looking at this data, the two ministers made a determination to say, how do we share or split responsibility without duplication, complementarity towards achieving the objectives of government and having impact without duplicating roles. So that is the basic principles. So when they came to hard issues in terms of key assets of land, you know, abattoirs, silos, things like that, who provides that, you know, in terms of budget allocation. On silos, agriculture, for instance, will have the competency to deal with the science around the benefits of storing, market trade, and all that, the treatment of pesticides, of crops, and all that, so to minimize damage by pests. And just as an example, but let's take the discussion further with the department.
Our priority on that with National Treasury is to minimize duplication, to have impact from programs, and ensure that for more.
I don't know, Madam Chairperson, if I'm going to ask Honorable Father just to repeat. My apologies, the question on food.
Thank you. Honorable Mallory, on slide 20, I think we're asking which number. This is on the irrigation, the scientific. In the revised version of the NPSF, following substantial engagement with the department, with BFAP, water and sanitation, and the Department of and the Department of and the Water Research Institute, I can find that slide right now. We settled on the 80,000 figure. That was done by the Water Research Institute because of their competency on water.
in Cyprus. So they transmit the first draft of the APP. During that time, they engage on the assessment process. And the second draft is the final APP that then gets tabled. So you track improvements from the first to the second. So the new one will be the final draft of the APP. Madam Chair, Thurston, that graph on food security. Does it mean our interventions has not worked? I wouldn't say so. I'd say the fact that we're not regressing as a country with food secure nationally, where cases of food insecurity, pockets of food insecurity at household level and in farms, some of the farms as well, but as a country, we're food secure. So that means we're successful in that regard. But we need to strengthen, accelerate, intensify our interventions to deal particularly with the distribution of the food, because the food is available and concentrated, accessible to certain categories and geographic localities. So we need to address issues of access and distribution so we're able to reach the vulnerable and far-reaching areas. I think that's the issue. The second one we need to address is the integrated and well-targeted response. So when Department of Social Development, for instance, provide support addressing food security, those should be complementary in the context of the overall plan for food security, for achieving food security and nutrition in the country. And that has been our challenge, that we our programs are a bit disjointed and not complementary. It is for this reason that there's a cabinet decision for the whole of government to have an integrated food security, nutrition, and response, building on the food security policy that was developed by the Department of Agriculture, Forestry, and Fisheries and Forestry. So that plan, coordinated at the level of the Deputy President, seeks to ensure that our interventions are focused, well targeted, and impactful going forward. The issue of provinces, I can just say briefly that in the collective stakeholders of participants in the Pakistan, they are the and maybe the department could expand on that when we engage with them. But what we're saying, what we're offering, is to present the outcomes of the Pakistan intervention once it has been launched by the President. As honorable member knows, this is a presidential initiative, and the discussions around the details thereof are limited until quite time that the launch has been done. So after that process, we commit to present in partnership with the Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries, and Rural Development and Land Reform. In that presentation from the practice, I think we'll gain insight around how are we dealing with farm workers. It's extremely dedicated to farm labor, to labor issues. This is building on the commitment to develop the social context, commitment made in 2012 to the Dijon farmers following that threat.
it's not that 30% set aside is not yet a target on the MPSS, but it's one of the targets on the 9-point plan. Implementation, I agree with the general assessment that there's been some worries on regarding slow progress around that. But the economic cluster that is accounting or tracing performance on the 9-point plan should be able to provide an update on as far as that is concerned. Yeah. We're not, our view is once that regulation has been revised or amended, then we're going to build it into the medium term strategy framework for governments, for the partners to report against. Right now it's not happening, which is unfortunate. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Honorable Malou.
So it's just the final question on page 32, not page, on slide 23. Your report on public entities is too thin, or let's not say too thin is an understatement. It's bony, meaning it's not fresh, because it simply indicates that they are generally not functional and performing as an organization. But it doesn't. Does this suggest that you don't monitor and evaluate public entities?
Thank you. I think the observation is correct that we don't directly monitor public entities, but we track their performance through the ministries that they are accountable to, and that informs the general perception. If we are required to go engage directly with those entities, we need to do so.
Thank you very much, Honorable Paulson. You are not here when they present. What are you going to ask for them? No, Honorable Calls, I've not pointed to you.
You are
going to pay that you're kind of late in this meeting.
What?
You are not going to speak.
But I think the policy chairperson already I a lot of guys in the ANC can tell you about committee hopping, but they do bar hopping, so I did committee hopping.
You know, Honorable Person, please, who are in this relationship? No. Honorable State?
Chairperson, I would like to ask a follow-up question of the last statement that was made on the requirement of doing oversight on SOEs. By request of the minister or the portfolio, or when will that happen? Because I do have some of the SOEs in mind. We may make recommendations later, Chair, because I just wanted to find out how this works.
I think let's not bother doctor with that one. We have a direct responsibility to oversight on the SOEs. I think what we should say to department is that we have actually noted, or we've actually observed the issues even before Dr. Yu came. In last year when we were dealing with strategic plan, You remember we have actually asked the former DG and the department to go and realign their plan towards the outcomes as pronounced by the MTFS, and we are still waiting for that. It has never arrived, Minister, that document, even today. So, we are not surprised about your observation, because we have actually done that before as a committee, and we have requested the department to bring that. And this is another opportunity that we should actually interact with the entities and departments. And I think this the document that was requested of the alignment probably, because now we're dealing with the BRRR, it will reach us as a committee, because we've been long awaiting for the document. Honorable members, that was the presentation from monitoring and evaluation, planning and monitoring and evaluation. And thank you very much, Doctor. As usual, your presentation become very useful to the committee, the department, because one of the reasons why we call these other the oversight structures that are in government before ourselves is to assist us to assist department to make sure that as we come to deal with the annual report, we are then able to address relevant issues and have a way forward or progress in terms of how we are going to respond to some of the issues. So your presence here would then is very helpful, because would then expect yourself as you're coming to present. I know you're sending presentation, but if the presentation is just general as usual, you have to go and work on it during this weekend. And looking at the report, and in areas where there is yellow, green, red and yellow, you then come up with the what is it that you're going to do to make sure that you achieve green, which means it will then be a plan of action with regard to issues that have been raised here. So that we have a progress in dealing with our issues. We don't just talk around this all without any progress. But the second issue is, through you, Doctor, the integrated plan on food security. I think you need to have a time frame. You know, we've been talking about it quite some time now. Our social that we're still talking about is still going to the cabinet. Probably has not even went to the cluster committee of cabinet. It's still in the pipeline to go, and it's very disturbing. I think if we can have sort of pushing time frame. I hope the particular thing will put time frame, because all issues that you're raising, Minister will remember that they are the things that we've been raising them. And if there was a way of putting time frame, some of the issues we could have resolved them, we could have progress on them. So the finalization, the issue of the database that's raised by Honorable Stein, we've been raising it, and we welcome that at least you've taken a bold decision, Minister. You know that it's involving resources to get the Statistics of Africa to do that analysis or sensors for you, it will cost you a lot of resources, but I think it's for the good cause. And the issue of the baseline, as we've been asking, at least we're moving towards a green bar. So as you can just tighten up and attach a time frame on all the progress that we've made, because that's where the problem is, including the short smallholder support. I know that can remain draft for another 3 years. If we don't get the department to resolve it, including mechanization policy, you know them, all of them, still draft. If we can remove them from draft to become policy document, then the issue of production will get its way in the country. And thank you very much, honorable members. And we'll meet on Thursday, when we meet with Auditor General. Minister, you are invited. Even if you... No, I'm there on Thursday. You are invited to the meeting. I'm not saying you respond, Minister.
I was going to invite the chairperson to attend the ministerial meeting to the opposition parties on Thursday.
Yes, I will attend, but you must attend my business. We'll live together from here. So thank you very much, honorable members. Honorable Paul, the one that... two questions. We'll close the meeting. The meeting is adjourned. No, go and ask him what time.